Tavshinayim Zayin. So, let's just briefly look at the overview of the parsha. We have the discussion of the reward to Pinchas for having killed Zimri and Cosby. He saved the Jewish people, and that's obviously a long discussion in its own right. Then there is the commandment to do battle and take vengeance against the Midianim, because they were the source of this fall of the Jewish people with Baal Peor. And then immediately after there was a Magefa, we know there was a Magefa that took place. The Jewish people were dying in a Magefa. And the Magefa ends, of course, when Pinchas Shishkabat Zimri and Cosby. And then the Jewish people, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe and to Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, because Aaron, of course, already is the Nifter, to count the Jewish people. Immediately after counting the Jewish people, they're told, Le'elet Techalekes Ha'aretz, that's in Shlishi, that's Perek Chavav, Pasuk Nun Beis, you'll divide up the land to all these people who are being counted here. And there's a discussion of how to do the counting, etc. And then we have the story of Benos Tzlafchad, the daughters of Tzlafchad, who died. Either he was one of the Mahfilim, or else he was the Mekoshesh, right? Right, Chazal say that he was either one of the people who tried to go into Eretz Israel after the Gzeirah had come upon the Jewish people not to enter into Eretz Israel, or he was the Mekoshesh Eitzim, and Chazal say that he was Mechavan Lashem Shamayim, albeit he got himself killed, and as he wanted to show how severe the Chilul Shabbos was, etc. But he certainly wasn't amongst Adas Korach, and which is what his daughters say, and then this whole discussion in the Chumash of how Parshas Nachla takes place. The man has a son, it goes to his son, it doesn't have a son, it goes to a daughter, and that's all brought about by the request of Benos Tzlafchad. Why should our father not have a chelik in Eretz Israel? He wasn't from Adas Korach, etc. Then, right after the discussion of Benos Tzlafchad, that's his name. Tzlafchad.
What does it mean?
Tzlafchad? Maybe Tzel Pachad. He was in the shadow of fear. I don't know. But I don't know. That's just, Right. Or like in Tzlafchad, that's a sharp caper. Right? So that's all just musings. Then of course Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu to rise up to Har Avarim, right? To go into Har Avarim. You'll see Eretz Yisrael from there, but you're not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Then Moshe Rabbeinu makes a request of Hashem, a very strange pasuk, right? The only pasuk of that, there's similar ideas, but the only pasuk of that type, this exact type, the Chumash. And that's in Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Tezvav. It says, "Vaydaber Moshe El Hashem Leimor." Right, and the normal sequence is the Daber Hashem El Moshe Leimor. Here it's Vaydaber Moshe El Hashem Leimor. It's the other way around. Hashem Moshe says to Hashem, right, Leimor, and he makes a request that Kadosh Baruch Hu appoint someone in his place to guide the Jewish people.
Here he asks Hashem to appoint his son.
That's afterwards. Record in the beginning. He just says makes a request that that he wants to appoint, you know, so someone should be appointed. And afterwards, when we discussed that once upon a time, right, what it means, but afterwards it appears he's asking for a request of his son. Then, Kosh Boko tells him he's going to appoint Yoshua, and then immediately after that are the Korbanos. The Korbanos, starting the Korban Tamid, right? Korban Tamid, Korban Rosh Chodesh, all the Yamim Tovim, the Musafim, etc. Fine.
It's interesting, curious that the Korbanos are put here for the Maisa. They were offering these Korbanos for 40 years, right?
I don't know if, I mean, the Rechor, the what do you call it, the Tamid was there. Were all of them there? Were all of them there? I don't know. I don't know if all of them were there. I mean, the Tamid was there because we know that was already Har Sinai. The Makor Korban Tamid. I'm sure they discuss it. Okay. Let's see. So take a look, see. On page one there, it says Miben Esrim Shana V'Mala. This is in terms of counting. Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe V'Nei Yisrael Yotzim Me'eretz Yitzrayim. Right, they're going to be counted from 20 years and up, just as Hashem was Mitzaveh Moshe U'Bnei Yisrael Hayotzim Me'eretz Yitzrayim when they left Eretz Mitzrayim. Left Eretz Mitzrayim.
Mitzaveh what?
And as they're going to count them again now, after the plague has been finished, the plague that came upon the Jewish people as a result of the Chet HaBaal Pa'or, so they're going to be counted again, just as they were counted when they left Mitzrayim. And then it says, Reuven Bechor Yisrael, and it goes through all the Shvatim and the families from those Shvatim, Reuven Bechor Yisrael, Bnei Reuven Chanoch, Mishpachas HaChanochi, Lefalum, Mishpachas HaPalui. So the note that all the families are referred to with a hey at the beginning and a yud at the end. Right? It doesn't say Reuven Bechor Yisrael. You see in Pasuk Hey. You see on the page there. Pasuk Hey. Chav Vav Hey. Right? It says Reuven Bechor Yisrael. Bnei Reuven Chanoch. Right? And then it says Meshpachas HaChanochi. Palu Meshpachas HaPalui. Right? With the hey in the beginning and a yud at the end. So Rashi says why they refer to, you know, HaChanochi, HaPalui, it's Mishpachas Palu, Mishpachas Chanoch, right? The Fishahayu Umos Mevazin Osam, because the Umos spoke out about the Jewish people, they defamed them. And they said, Ma Elu Misyachasim Al Shivteim. What are these, the Shvatim coming, they're talking about, you know, these are the families, this is my father, and my father's father, and my father's father's father, etc. He says, nonsense, said the nations of the world. What, you think that the Mitzrim, as it were, didn't have control over their wives, just like had control over them? They sent them out to work, they made them what do you call, build buildings, make the bricks, etc. They had complete control over their lives, and they didn't have control over their wives. Right? So who's to say this is my, what do you call it, that this child is, he knows who his father is, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather, all the way back to the original Shvatim. Nonsense! Right? They're, what do you call it, there's mixed blood over here. The Pirchei Hitil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmo Aleihem, Hei Mitzad Zeh V'Yud Mitzad Zeh. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the letters of his name, the Hei and the Yud, you had Yud K, right? He put those osios upon their name, Ha Chanuchi, Ha Palui, the A at the beginning, Yud at the end, to stamp them that these, what do you call it, that I testify, my name is attached to their name, and I testify upon them, right, that they are worthy for the Shekhinah to dwell in their midst, because the Shekhinah Yud Ke, Shem Ka, right, the Shekhinah is worthy to dwell in their midst, because they are Miuchasim. In other words, there's no mixed bag over here. This is not, you know, fruits and nuts. This is really cool. They are the children whom they think their parents are, and their grandparents and great grandparents. That's exactly the way it is. So says this Fasemis. He says, "Be'inin aminyan shechasam Hashem al Shvatim, kol shechasam Rashi, kol kasavnu mashalom atzinu edu zumi kodem." Right? Why didn't he do this when the first time they counted them when they came out of Mitzrayim?
Do what?
Count them with their names of the families with the hay at the beginning of the year and at the end. After all, that's a much greater, right? It's a much greater, what do you call it? I mean, it should be when they first came out of Mitzrayim, they should count them like that. There's the whole claim.
In the beginning?
I'm sorry?
He in the beginning and the Yud and
Hey. Right, which is the letter of Hashem's name, Yud and Hey. Okay? Yud and Hey. Why the Hey in the beginning and the Yud and then? So maybe we'll take a look. We'll see, hopefully. But in any event, but the idea being, why didn't they get counted this way when they first came to Mitzrayim? It was if the whole idea is to dispel the false notion that the Mitzrim had fathered many of these children, mm-hmm. So when they first came out of Israel, they should have done it. Right?
I don't understand.
When they first came, this is 40 years down the line. They were counted when they first came out of Mitzrayim.
Right.
Why didn't they do the same thing over there? Why wasn't the counting also in the same fashion where you put a hey in the beginning of every name and a yud at the end? You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, why dafka now? Why specifically now at the end of 40 years? They should have counted this way when they left Mitzrayim. That was the time of the main chashash, the main concern, when they first came out of Mitzrayim. Right? We're on the same planet? Right? So the Pashut answer, and the Sasema says that, yeah? Is that now, right now, there's reason, right? There's reason for the suspicion to arise. Why?
Why now? There's no Egyptians.
Right, I understand. But now, once you've seen that they've committed znus with, what do you call it, with the Benos Midjan, right? So we see that they're not so holy. If they're not so holy, because they committed, what do you call it, they committed znus with Benos Midjan, Benos Moav.
Right.
They committed znus with them, so it looks like they're not so holy. So now they say, oh, they're not such a holy people. Right, so now let's rethink our whole position upon them. It's sort of like what we mentioned before, also that like let's say with the Yevanim. Remember, we mentioned this last week in the context of Bilam and Balak. But the Yevanim, the Chazal say, Kisru Lachem. The Yevanim said to the Jewish people at the time of their dominion over the Jewish people, their ruling over the Jewish people, Kisru Lachem Al Keren Ashur Shein Lachem Chelik B'Lokei Yisrael. Right upon the horn of the ox that you have no portion in the God of Israel. And the Maral says, what's the idea of on the horn of the ox? You know, the ox is referring to there, as it will refer back to the Chet HaEgel. You sinned over there with the Chet HaEgel. It shows you're not such a people who are completely devoted to the one God. Right? So sign upon that, right upon the horn of the ox, yeah, that you really are not connected to God, because the proof is in the pudding. You committed what you call Avodah Zarah with the Egel. So to also over here, once the Jewish people, as it were, have committed a public act of Znus on such a large number, yeah, with the Benos Moav, etc., so you're not such a holy people. So maybe you're not what you claim to be. Right. So now, Dr. Here, we testify. Hashem says, I put my stamp of my name upon them, that the Shekhinah is in their midst. Right? My holy presence. And Hashem's holy presence only resides in a place, yeah, which is free from, what do you call it, from where it's a place where the people are miyuchas. They can be traced back to a father, to a grandfather, to a great-grandfather, to a great-great-grandfather, and that way they come from, a confused background, where, you know, they're not from a background of cats, etc.
I was afraid of cats.
Right. Thank you. Brother Hashem, that was the only thing I was missing this morning. The emes kein zeh edus ulaolam. Right? He says, after she speak him biru al yedei she yordu b'madrigosam rishona. Once you descend, right, then you need a new edus.
This is now we're in
Sfas Emes, right?
I understand,
but tshuva doesn't help. Tshuva doesn't help if what he called if you know, it's like what he called, the pasuk says miuvas lo yuchol liskon, right? There's a twisted act that you can't fix. What's that? Zeh abala erva of holy blood of vlad mamzer. Right? In other words, you can do tshuva, but you can't take the change the fact this kid is a mamzer. Right? So same thing also over here. If they can do tshuva, but lamaisa they're what do you call it? If they're the progeny, right, of what do you call it, the Mitzrayim and not the Jews,
yeah.
So they're not who they claim to be. They're not so inherently holy. So after they descended, yeah, by committing Znus with the Benos Moav, so we need is to reestablish their credentials. That's why Hashem stamps his name upon them. Just like it says, Ish v'isha zahu shechina b'nehem. Right? We know that when the Chazal say in the beginning of Masechet Sota, right? That Ish and Isha, the letters they have in common are Aleph Shin, which is Eish, which is fire. And the letters they don't have in common are the Yud and the Hey, the Yud and Ish and the Hey and Isha. And that's the Shem of Hashem, Yud followed by Hey, Shem Ka. So if they're Zoche, if they live a life of Kedusha, so then the Shechina is in their midst, because the Shechina dwells in a place of Kedusha. In Lo Zachu, if they're not living a life of Kedusha, so then the result is Eish Ochlosam, the fire consumes them. Because they've ejected the name of Hashem from their house, and all that's left is just the Aleph and the Shin, the Eish.
Okay, so after they committed Zeus with the Moab,
right?
What did they do to Hashem? Why did they deserve to have Hashem stamp on them?
Because what do you call it? They you're right. They did tshuva. The question is, are these people right an inherently holy people or not? It's true. You can mess up, and you can do tshuva. You can mess up, you can do tshuva. The question is, are they inherently holy? Or are they, what do you call it, the progeny of, what do you call it, of, you know, of the rapes of the, what do you call it, of the Mitzrayim? Right? So Hashem reestablishes their credentials. Right? It's true they messed up over here. But you're right, like you said, they did tshuva. They did tshuva. Oh, what about their past? I testify, I place my name, my initials, I initial their yichus. Saying that what? That their yichus is intact. In other words, you shouldn't have suspicions as to what their yichus is. The MS came, the Eidus of the Olam. And this Eidus, right, is upon the Jewish people forever. The Jewish people's job description is to record, is to speak out the greatness of Hashem, to remind the world of the presence of the providence of Hashem, and they're supposed to function as edim. They're supposed to function as witnesses about Hashem's presence. So just as they testify about Hashem's presence in the world, so that Hashem testifies upon them that they're a holy people.
Yeah, it's good. They just had a Magafa and they killed 24,000 people, so they were maybe the impure ones.
Well, we know who they committed the sin. They committed the sin. Okay, right, but it doesn't mean that what do you call it that their whole stock is bustled. Right, Eid Hashem Bachem. Right, Hashem testifies upon the Jewish people. Just as the Jewish people testify that Hashem is one, right? Hashem is one. If you look at Shema, like when you see the last letter of the word Shema is an ayin, right? And the last letter of Echad is a Dalet, right? So you see in many Siddurim, it's written big ayin, big Dalet, because we testify that Hashem is one. So too, the degree to which you testify that, Hashem testifies about us.
Some guy used to call me the Big A.
That's good. Okay. Record. I'm sure Carl Jung's spirit is hovering nearby. You know, in the
archetypes.
I'm talking about free association. Forget about the archetypes. Yeah, fine. Okay. And that becomes, yeah, and the Jewish people as they travel through history, right? The more tests that they undergo, and the more that they as it were, testify to Hashem's oneness in spite of the test, so their edus, their testimony of Hashem, becomes greater. Because where do you need edus when things are not clear? If you see something in front of you, you don't need any witnesses to tell you what's happening. You see it right in front of you, right? The witnesses clarify something. And the Jewish people are meant to clarify Hashem's presence throughout history. And the Jewish people have been through a lot of dark times.
You can't testify,
right? But you call, of course you can. We're testifying. Seder, I'm not talking about it, but them. We're talking about what you call with people who are called who are them unto Hashem's Torah. Right? They're testifying. Fine. Further. Okay.
Back
what you call now. Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Tes Vav. So the first thing was the discussion of the presence of the Jewish people, and these are now going to become the people, right? Who are going to inherit the land. They're going to inherit the land. These are the people who are going to inherit the land.
Let's see, so this before the spies or after
the spies? Oh, way after. This is the end of 40 years.
End of 40 years.
The
thing with Moab was after 40
years? Yeah. Yeah, the end of 40 years. Okay. Now, they're going to inherit the land. They're going to inherit the land. So we'll see, you know, the unique quality of the Jewish people, right, as they're going to inherit the land. Let's see just in a moment. It says, Vayidaber Moshe El Hashem Lemur. So that pasuk is a very strange pasuk, like we said. On all throughout the Torah it says, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemur. What does it always mean? It means Hashem spoke to Moshe Lemur to say now to the Jewish people. But when you say Vayidaber Moshe El Hashem Lemur, what does that mean? Moshe speaks to Hashem, and what's the Lemur? What's the Lemur? To say to whom? So that's what Rashi says, Vayidaber Moshe El Hashem Lehodia Shvachon Shel Tzadikim Keshiniftar Min Olam Minichim Tzorch Va'oskim B'Tzorchei Tzibur. The first thing Moshe Rabbeinu was told, right? He's going to pass on. He's not going to enter into Israel. So first thing he says is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please appoint Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar Ish Al Eda. Appoint someone who's going to lead the Jewish people.
That's what
Rashi says, right? Lemor Amalo Hashiveni Imata Memane Lehem Panas Im Lav. Right? Tell me if you're going to appoint a leader for them, someone to take care of them or not. So fine. So then Moshe Rabbeinu is told that what? That he's going to be Yoshua. Yoshua is going to be the one who's going to lead them. Yoshua is going to be the one who's going to lead them to Eretz Israel.
I haven't answered
the Lemur
yet.
No, that's the Lemur is, tell me. Hashem, Moshe says to Hashem, I'm asking you and I want you to tell me. I want to know. Right? The idea being L'chora, what does he want to know? He wants to know how the Hanhaga, how the next stage is going to appear. Think back for a second, right? Think back for a second. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he struck the rock in Parshas Chukas, he struck the rock there. Remember? So remember what he called. So Rashi said the reason he was punished not to enter into Israel is because he struck the rock and didn't speak to the rock. And the Netziv, the Hamikdavar, explained over there, not that he didn't say, oh, kuchi, 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 the rocky poop, my girl says, the rocky, we wah, wah, wah. Right? In other words, but the, sorry. Okay, thank you. Okay. So the Netziv explained that what was the idea? Hashem wanted him to be mispalel, to say a Mishnah, say Torah, and thereby cause the rock to bring forth water. Right? In other words, that was the intention. The intention was to prepare, right? Prepare the Jewish people for entering into Eretz Yisrael. right? And there's not going to be there's not going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu who's going to take a staff and strike the thing instead of bring them miracles. There's not going to be Mun from Shemayim. There's not going to be Ananiya covered surrounding them. There's not going to be a traveling Be'er with them giving them water. But rather, they have to learn that they have to raise up, right? Or they have to generate it. So Moshe Rabbeinu wants to know. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to know how is it going to be? Who's going to be the leader? I wonder who the leader is going to be. Who's going to be the leader? Initially, he thought perhaps one of his children, like you mentioned before. The subsequent Rekul Rashi says he thought maybe his children should be the leaders to continue his analogy. Says the Rosh Hashem, no, right? Yehoshua is going to be the leader. Like Chazal say that Yehoshua, right? Yehoshua is compared to the moon, just as Moshe Rabbeinu is compared to the sun. And there's Yehoshua, just like Moshe Rabbeinu is the symbol of Torah Shebichtav, the sun shining bright, etc., clear. The moon is all reflective light, and that's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because we receive light from someplace else, and then depending on how we arrange ourselves vis-a-vis that light, we reflect light. And that's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh. The nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is that the individual, he receives the Torah Shebichtav, but then he reflects that light. That's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh. Also, what he calls that carries it throughout the generations, through the darkness of the Golus, etc., where things are not clear. The moon, right? The moon is the symbol of Torah Shebaal Peh, and Yehoshua is compared to the moon. So then, after Hashem tells Moshe that the next leader is going to be Yehoshua, it's going to be Yehoshua, then he continues on into the parsha of the korbanos, of the, what he called, of the sacrifices. And Rashi says, right, and I conveniently left out that Rashi. So, I said, no. In Chamishi, right? That's Perk Chof Ches, Pasuk Aleph. It says, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimur, Tzavis Bnei Yisrael, Vamarta Aleihem, Es Korboni Lachmi Lishai, Reach Nichochi, Tishmu Lakli V'Li V'Moado. We begin discussing the Korbanos. We start with the Korban Tamid. So Rashi says on this, right? Tzavis Bnei Yisrael, Ma Omu L'Mala. What does it say above? There's the Pesukim just prior to this. Yifkod Hashem, right? That Hashem should appoint, this was immediately before these Pesukim, is the request of Moshe Rabbeinu that he should appoint someone, right, to lead the Jewish people. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shata Mitzaveni, Al Banai, Tzavei Es Banai Alai. Before you're asking me, the word commit to how the Jewish people are going to be led. You're demanding of me, or in really quads, or asking of me, yeah, that I should appoint somebody to take care of your children. First, you should tell your children to have the proper relationship with me. What's it comparable to? To a bas melech. Right? She's she's leaving what he calls the world. She's passing on. And she's speaking to her husband how he should take care of the children. And to which her husband says, before you tell me how to take care of your children, tell your children how to relate to me. And then becomes the story of the korbanos. Right? And that's the idea. In other words, Moshe says to Hashem, who's going to lead them? Who's going to lead them? And again, like we said before, Moshe Rabbeinu is interested. How is the leadership going to take place? And I know I lost my ability to enter into Eretz Yisrael because I hit the rock and I didn't speak to rock. But now, how is it going to continue? Is it going to flow from me? Are my children going to be the leaders? Now, there's those who are descendants from me. And it was my derech will continue. I made a mistake. I struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. But will my derech continue? Or you're going to appoint a new parnas. You're going to appoint a new one to take care of them.
What was
the derech? Because derech was what he called was torah shebichtav. Was what he called was a miraculous thing. What he called, so he can modify it, but it's going to be his progeny. night, but which Hashem says, no, Yoshua, your Talmud, the one who's compared to the moon, he's going to lead the Jewish people, and as we're entering into a new epic. And then he says, and to further drive home the point, and to qualify it, let's talk about the korbanos, because the korbanos are going to train the Jewish people to have a proper relationship with me, so that in turn they can be led by Yehoshua. Again, what does the Medrash say? The Medrash says, it's comparable to a wife, the daughter of a king who's passing on. She's being nisteres. She calls in her husband, and she says, this is how I want you to take care of my children. I want you to take care of my children after I'm gone. How are you going to? We want you to take care of them. To which we call it, to which the her husband says, before you tell me how to take care of your children, you have to charge your children. You have to command your children to have the proper relationship with me. The proper relationship with me.
What's the difference?
I'm telling the father. We'll tell the father. This is how you have to raise the children, right? The father says it's not going to help, right? All of my efforts to try and raise them if they don't have a proper relationship with me. Let's say they don't respect me, right? Or let's say they're busy running around outside, right? Or they're doing whatever they're doing, and every time I talk to them, their ears are full of wax. So all the instructions you give to me are worthless, because they're not attuned to me. You hear?
Yeah.
Right?
Moshe wants to know that?
No, this is what he calls. Moshe said to Hashem.
Who's going to be there?
Time out. Moshe said to Hashem. What do you call? Who are you pointing? And is it going to flow from me? Which he asked in a few psukim later, which we didn't mention, but he mentioned it before, right? He thought it was going to be from his children. Hashem says, no, it's going to be Yoshua, right? Your Talmud. He's going to be, right? So he told him it's going to be Talmud. But again, then Hashem says back to Moshe, as the Medrash is saying over here, but really, in order for Yoshua to be successful, you need to establish, in terms of leading the people, you need to establish a healthy relationship between the Jewish people and me. Now, Yoshua is going to be my proxy in leading the Jewish people. But if they don't have a proper relationship, right, in this new situation, then it's not going to help for them to be the proxy for me, to lead them. Because they're out to lunch. And that is the parsha of the korbanos.
How so?
Oh, okay. So says the Sfas Emes. Right? Says the Sfas Emes, right, the middle one, in Tuf Reish Lamed Tes. The Pasuk, Tzavis Bnei Yisrael, Berashi, Ubemedrish, Anshetem Tzavei Nuni Al Bonai, Tzavei Bonai Alai. Ha'inyin Hu, V'yish Lechem Min HaShamayim U'min HaOretz. There is bread from the heaven, and there's bread from the earth. V'hu Bechinas Tor Shebechsav, or Tor Shebaal Peh. Right? Bread from the heaven, that's the man. And all the years that the Jewish people were being led by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, there was man min haShamayim. UMoshe Rabbeinu LaMashal Horid haTorah min haShamayim LaOretz. Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah from Shamayim to Oretz. That was his job description, to bring the Torah from the world of Shamayim and transform the Torah into a Torah of the Oretz. Right? Nachon? Right? And by the same token, the Haman, the Chsiv, Hinei Mamti Lechem, Lechem Min HaShemayim. And so too, their Parnasa came on the same wavelength. You know, that the entire epic, the entire period of the Jewish people traveling through the desert, they were in a slice of time where the Torah is coming down and becoming the Torah of the Oretz. It started with Minor Har Sinai, right? And it continued throughout the Jewish peoples traveling through the desert. The Torah of Shemayim is becoming the Torah of the Oretz. And so too their Parnasa came, right, from Shemayim to Oretz, the man. The Rotsa Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShom HaHashir Zos Gam Achra. He wanted to continue this even afterwards. Aber bei Emes hiskil ata bechinas lechem min aretz. Haino hat tik ata tik kobonos his karbus. I'm sorry, his karbus mitzala tachtoni mashamayim. Haino tzavei es bonai alai. Moshe Rabbeinu, like we said before, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to continue that derech to one degree or another. Even though
he wants to continue for,
the Shemayim to Oret. So it's constantly Hashem pouring down upon the Jewish people. But Hashem says, no, that's not the way it's going to be now. What the Jewish people now have to do is they have to work from the bottom up. They have to bring, what they call it, the Oret close to the Shemayim. They have to reach upward, struggle upward, to reattach themselves to Shemayim. Rather than just being recipients from what comes from Shemayim, they have to struggle to attach themselves to the Shemayim. V'hi b'chinas ha-korbonos v'china tefila. And that's the nature of korbonos and tefila itself, which we know, we call tefilos k'neged tmidim tiknum. The tefilos also are a fulfillment of the korbonos. Shemakam tzmidim iskin v'uavoda shebelev perish ade hishtokakus belev lizdabek b'shorish elyon im ki'ata nafalnu achoranis yochon lagzer l'mikomenu arishon. In other words, the whole nature of avoda now is Hashem's presence is going to be hidden in the world. It's not like when they traveled to the Midbar. There was man, there was Ananiah Kavod, there's the Be'er, there's Slav, there's always these miraculous things inventing, but of course, and now they're going to enter into a world where they have to, as it were, they have to bring up, yeah, their physical being back up towards the Shemayim. V'zeu she'omar, ha'asuya v'har Sinai, that's why it says, what does it say in the Pasuk? Yeah, it says, In the pasuk of the Tzmidim, right here in Perek Chavches pasuk Vav, Olas Tamid Hasuya Bahar Sinai L'Reach Nichoach Ishel Hashem. We said before that at Bahar Sinai they brought the Korban Tamid, and it says that you should bring the Korban Tamid every day, just like was brought at Har Sinai. Perush Shaydei Shekvar Hayinu B'Madrege Elyona Bahar Sinai Dichsi Vayir Hashem Al Har Sinai Yecholim Shuv Ata Lahalos Hatzmenu LaShamayim. Before we get to that, in other words, what you experienced at Sinai, right? The Jewish people at Sinai, they were flooded from above, right, with the most incredible phantasmagoric revelation. They were flooded from above. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the capacity to see what a person ordinarily hears and to hear what a person ordinarily sees. Nachon, remember we call the Medrash, we discussed that the Nefesh Chaim talks about, the idea that they could see what a person ordinarily hears and hear what a person ordinarily sees. What does that mean? And in the normal circumstances, we look outside, so what do we see? We see trees, we see grass, we see bank accounts, we see cars, we see pleasures, we see vacations, we see, and then we start recording, and then we start, and then, when you want to talk to us about Ruchnius, about spiritual affairs, so I hear it, right? I hear that idea. I don't see it. I hear it, right? Seeing is believing, right? I hear it. I can relate to it. At Har Sinai, they saw that which they ordinarily heard, and they heard ordinarily what the person usually sees. In other words, when they would, the Sinai experience was such that the relationship to the physical world became secondary. Yeah, I hear there are trees out there. I hear there's bank accounts. I hear that there's cars. I hear there's vacations. But what I see, right? The main topic of existence is the Kesher to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what they experienced at Har Sinai. They said Natz v'Nishma, right? That it was Zocheh, right? Because they said we're willing, as it were, right, to put Hashem's presence into this world, which doesn't apparent. His presence is not apparent. Well, Natz, And from that, we will become different people. We'll nishma, we'll understand differently. So they were able, therefore, to have that experience of seeing what a person ordinarily hears and hearing what a person ordinarily sees. At that time, they also brought the Korban Tamid. That's why it says it was brought at Har Sinai. To know that as you travel, as the Jewish people are going to travel right through time, they're going to leave the Midbar, they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, things are not going to be as clear, and certainly after they go into Golas, that's for sure, right? Things are not going to be so clear. But at the Sinai experience, at Maimon Har Sinai, they understood that there are also going to be times when things are not going to be clear, and you're going to need, as it were, to struggle upward. To struggle upward, which is what tefillah and what korban is all about. To take what we call the gashmias, to take your situation in life and struggle upward to turn towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, to attach it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When we talk about tefillah, right? When we talk about tefillah, what is tefillah? What is tefillah?
Wait, are you comparing korbanos to tefillah?
Because we know that tefillah is required, and the korbanos are doing much the same thing, except that korbanos are doing it in the world of deed, and tefillah is doing it in the world of thought and speech. Right?
Yeah.
So what's happening in the world of tefillah? In the yeah. What's happening in the world of tefillah? You look around outside.
I read in the newspaper.
You look around outside, and you see that people are not davening, right? They're not davening, and they got cars. If you're not davening, they've got homes. They got big bank accounts. They got, right? What a person davens, and that's really what we call the korbanos, but maybe it's easier for us to hear first words written in tefillah. When a person is davening, right? A person is davening, so what he's doing is he's making the statement, I have nothing without you. I have nothing. Because the world continues, right? Hashem he's got the world, you know, arranged, so there are always going to be wealthy people, there are going to be poor people, there will be successful people, people who are not successful, there's going to be, what do you call this, that, and the next thing. Olam kimin hago noheg. The world continues on. Yeah? Right? The world keeps on this petty pace from day to day. Right? That's the way it does. That's part of the scenery of the world. If a person wants to be part of the scenery of the world, he doesn't pray. If a person wants to be part of the scenery of the world, the scenery, like a tree,
not really getting attached.
He's not attached to his Hashem. He's part of the stage. Yeah. He's part of the paper mache. Yes, is what he called stage work.
He's a prop.
He's not praying. Hashem didn't put him on the world to be like an amoeba. Hashem didn't put him on the world to be like an ox. Hashem put him in the world to connect, what he called his presence in the world to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the people who are successful and are not davening, right? The people who are enjoying life and not davening are part of the scenery. They're part of the scenery. I mean, they look all the same as us, right? But really they're part of the scenery.
Yes, people who don't have a connection with Hashem.
But when a person is what he calls struggles to connect himself to Hashem, right? So what he's doing, he's fulfilling the purpose of why he was put here in the first place. He's doing his job description, which is in spite of the lack of clarity, right? He's saying, I know I have nothing without you. You are my source. You are my source. That person is, right, the person of creation that Hashem created. That's what he wanted, is that we should recognize what we call who we are and why we're here and where we come from and who is sustaining us. Nachon? So that's what we call that.
That's the feeling.
So that's what the Sfas Emes is telling us when Rashi says he brings to Chazal. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Who are you going to appoint? Right? Who are you going to appoint?" So he says, "Because Rochel says, I'm going to appoint Yeshua, but let's get the facts on the ground straight first. If the Jewish people, right, are going to people being bringing the Korban Tummy, the Korban Tummy meaning that what that we turn to the Rebbe Shalom because we know we have nothing without him. We're showing the world is his." As the korban rises up on the mizbeach, kilu. As the korban rises up on its mizbeach, it's like you know there is what are korbanos? What are korbanos? The we've talked about this before that the word mizbeach is really a misnomer. It's an inappropriate word because mizbeach is a lashon of zvicha, of shechita. Korbanos you didn't ordinarily shecht on a mizbeach. You don't want to shech korbanos mizbeach. I mean, you could. You did. You would be kosher, right? But it's not a normal place to shech in mizbeach. You shech it on the floor, outside the mizbeach. The place, the mizbeach was really a place of burning. You're burning the korbanos. A place of sprinkling. You're sprinkling the blood. It's not a place of shechita. It's like all the mizbeach. It's a mikdra. It's a mizuka, whatever. Not a mizbeach. Elamites, we discussed before, because there was one korban that was meant to be shechted on the mizbeach. And what was that? Yitzchak. Avram put Yitzchak on the Mizbeach and he's going to shecht him. So the essence of what we call of the Avodas HaKarbonos / Tefillah is that really I'm yours. I'm completely yours. I have no other existence. My act of Tefillah or my act of Korbonos is an implicit statement that I am yours. Except that instead of what you call it, you're telling me to step into the fire, you're saying do it this way, right? If we're talking about korbanos, bring the mineral kingdom in the form of salt on all the korbanos and water, right? During Sukkot, bring the vegetable kingdom in the form of all the menachos, all the meal offerings and the nesachim, yeah, the wine and the oil. Bring the animal kingdom. In the form of what he calls the form of what he calls all the different animals that are brought up on his back, and the agent for bringing it is you, and really you should be stepping in the fire. But Hashem said, "Don't do it that way." But that's what the world of korbanos is. The world of korbanos is implicitly it's breaking through. It's breaking through the shell of this world, which hides Hashem's presence. And it's making the statement, right? It's making the statement, we are yours, right? In spite of everything that we see around us that hides your presence, we are yours, we are yours. When a person, as it were, creates that relationship, so now he's prepared to be led by Yehoshua. Because Yehoshua is now going to give over to us Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah is going to emanate from us. But if we don't establish the facts on the ground of our relationship, of our emunah, of our bitachon, of our proper perception of what Olam Hazeh is, so the entire concept of Torah Shebaal Peh, of Yehoshua's leadership, and the way that we'll accept that leadership, is called into question. So says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first be mitzavah them, upon me, upon establishing that relationship, that's the world of the korbanos, that's the world of tefillah. Let's just pick what we call one more point, right? One more point. Look at the bottom of Sfas Emes from Tafresh Mem Tes. Tafresh Mem Tes. No, it's on still page one, the bottom one. Right? Rabbi Simon says, Yud Gimu Midos Rachmin Ksiv Bi Shenem Avayav Hashem Upon Avayikra V'yesh Rachman Moser Mizonos Av L'Achzori Havayim Arev Lo Omer Lecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says, yeah, he says, do you think I need your korbanos in order to give to the world? I don't need your korbanos to give to the world. Because I'm Yudimu Miyos Rachamim. I'm a total Rachaman. I can even give to the, what do you call it, the cruelest of people. Right? right? Gives the kulos to people. That's why, if you remember correctly, in Shmona Esrei, right? Shmona Esrei, right? We mentioned it in the Chazal say we mentioned Mashi Ruach Mir Geshem in the bracha of Tchias Hamesim. Chazal say that Mashi Ruach Gadol Yom Hakshami Yosem Tchias Hamesim. Why? Because Tchias Hamesim is only for the tzaddikim. And Hashem brings rain, right? And the result is parnasa to the world, even for Rishayim. It's overcoming all their deficiencies. So Hashem says, I don't need the korbanos to give to the world. So says the Sfatem, it's bapasik. It's korbani lachmi, but medrash, lo shani tzorich lekorbanos, the medrash we just quoted. The tzorich beer, the yuvan, second line in the Sfatem, is alpi masha amru. He said the name of Chvisharim. Perish apostle. Korbani lachmi. Reach nichochi. Tishmu. Tzrichim bnei Yisrael. Lirol shashef vashabam mishmaim ye alidei maaseyem atovim. Vizeo reach nichochi tishmaru. It should be a pleasant record. It's not that I need the korbanos in order to bring down shef into the world. Like we said before. All of them came in a huggle of Noah. The world will continue. Hashem will supply to the world. And survive to the Rishayim. And survive to the Tzadikim. He says, but for your sake, you have to be makriv the korbanos. For your sake. And he says the Sfasemis, he continues on. He says, we say in Musaf, right? We say in Musaf on Shabbos, Tmidim ki Sidram, Umusafim ki Hilchasam. Tmidim ki Sidram, Umusafim ki Hilchasam. We say it on Shabbos, in our Tefillah, right? In Musaf. Tmidim ki Sidram. He says, because when the world comes down, the world, Hashem sends his malachim out all week long, right? All week long. They are bringing down the shefa to the world. So they'll either bring it down through what we call Olam Kimenhago Nohag. They'll bring it down through the medium of, you know, the world's got to continue on. Right? Or the malachim will bring it down, right? Bring it down in the schus of the korbanos. In the schus of the korbanos, which obviously is the betterment of man. The betterment of Klal Yisrael. That's kisidron. Umusafim ki hilchasam, says the Sfas Emes, what's musafim ki hilchasam? He says, because on Shabbos, right? It reaches a higher madrega, where we reach, in other words, when we reach upwards towards the Shemayim, to bring ourselves, our Gashmi world, close back to the Shemayim, which we're trying to do all week long, through our tefillos, through our korbanos, etc. We're trying to bring our Gashmi world back to its source. On Shabbos, because Shabbos is such a special day, we're able to reach much deeper into creation, places where the malachim can't even go. So during the week, it's tmidim kisidram. In other words, when we bring the korban tamid, so the seder, the order, which ordinarily is in the hands of the malachim, of, you know, olam kimenhago noeg, the world just continues on in this petty pace from day to day, etc. Instead, we bring it down, but it looks all the same. It looks all the same, and it's doing the same thing, except that it's coming down because of our korbanos, because of our tefilos. That's done during the week. But on Shabbos, it's Musafim Kihil Chosam. Why Kihil Chosam? Kihil Chosam is Halicha. Halacha. It's walking. Malachim can't walk. Malachim have only one foot. They have a stationary spot. They have a stationary level. It's a very high level. But the Jewish people have the ability to walk. We're called Mahalchim. So on Shabbos, not only do we return of all of the Gashmias back upstairs, right? With the way that we do during the week, which parallels the Malachim, is to bring it down Olam Kimenhago Noeg, just we're bringing our schus. But on Shabbos, we bring it to a place where the Malachim can't reach. That's why it's Tzmidim Kisidram Umusafim Kihilchasam. On Shabbos, right, the Avodas HaKorbanos, or the Avodas HaTefillah, reaches higher, reaches places of Halicha, places where the Malachim can't even get to. And that's why, if you look in Musaf, right, you look in Musaf, so you'll see, in the main body of Musaf, Tikanta, Shabbos, Ratzisa, Korbanosea, Tzivisa, Perushea, it's a backwards Aleph base. It's a backwards aleph base. So the Balei Tosfos, yeah, others, yeah, the Kedushas Levi talks about it also, that what, that on Shabbos, what's happening is everything is rising back from the earth, back towards Shemayim. Tuf, Shin, Reish, Kuf, Sadi, Pei, it's a backwards aleph base. And Dafka on Shabbos, we say it, L'chora, in Musaf, because on Shabbos, yeah, we're going to places the Malachim can't even get to. So showing how we're raising up the whole, like the whole Oretz, back towards the Shemayim. Back towards the Shemayim. So again, let's just recap. We start off with the counting of the Jewish people, right? The counting of the Jewish people is stamped with Hashem's name over here, because they lost a little bit of what their good name because of Benos Moav. They need to be re-stamped. This re-stamping of the Jewish people is a preparation for the entry into Eretz Yisrael. Just like it says, La'elu techalik et ha'aretz. To these people, you're going to give them a land. Just as when the Jewish people are counted, after the, what do you call, when they just received the Torah, because they were establishing, as it were, the connection with the Torah. Now they're counted again before they enter into Eretz Yisrael, because now they have a new job description. Bring the Torah to Eretz Yisrael. Bring the Torah to Eretz Yisrael. They're counted again. Hashem stamps His name upon to say, these people, right, are a holy people. They're holy people. Moshe Rabbeinu then in turn, yeah, we know the story of the Bros Tavchot. They come and they want to know, what do you call, what about their father, etc. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, and what about, what do you call, now Hashem tells them, you're going to pass on. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, who's going to lead them? How are they going to be led? Is it going to be my children? No, not your children. It's going to be Yehoshua. It's going to be a whole new form of leadership. The leadership of Yehoshua, which is going to bring in the era of the Torah, of Torah Shebaal Peh, which they obviously had Torah Shebaal Peh before. But here the focus is going to be on raising up the Torah from within the earth, from within our physical circumstances, raising that up towards Shemayim. Yehoshua is going to be the leader. But Hashem says to him, before you ask me who's going to be the leader, it's going to be Yehoshua. Really, you have to make sure you establish, right, the Jewish people's connection with me, because otherwise it's not going to last to Yehoshua. He's not going to listen to me as their emissary, right? Because he's what he called. He needs that they first, as it were, have a proper relationship with me. What is that? The korbanos. How so? Because in the world of where Hashem's presence is not clear, it's the world of tefillah and the world of korbanos. Yeah, that attaches the physical world to the spiritual world. It's not just really caught in terms of the heavens, but in terms of what happens in the person's soul. A person who davens with from the stance of knowing, I have nothing without you, even though I see around me tons of people of God and they've never even thought about you, Hashem, right? But I know that they really caught that that's just a mirage. They're part of the stage scenery. I don't want to be part of the stage scenery. I want to be one of the main actors on the stage. I know why you put me in this play. For my benefit, but the only way I can take advantage of my being one of the lead roles in this is in this incredibly complex play called existence, is that I'm not part of the scenery. I just don't assume things are going to be. But rather, I dynamically attach myself to you through tefillah, through the korbanos at the time the korbanos stood. And as the Sfasem has pointed out for us, what does that do? It looks exactly the same. You don't see any difference. Right? When a person who davens makes money and a person who doesn't daven make money, it looks all the same. The same dollar signs really quote appear. Same dollar signs appear, except that one person is receiving it because of Olin Kibinon Go Noeg. He's part of the scenery. And the other person is receiving it because he's been created B'Tselem Elokim. And that's the nature of our tefilos and the korbanos when the basically stood, right? Tmidim kisidrom, every day kiseder, just like the malachim are doing a kiseder, right? It's going the same conduits, except it's one is dynamic attachment to Hashem, and the other one is just like we said, right? The world creeps in its petty pace from day to day. Just keeps on going on and on and on, round and round and round she goes, where she stops, nobody knows. And on Shabbos, where we can reach places, Kedushas Shabbos, the Jewish people have the ability to reach places the Malachim can't even reach. Therefore, the Sfasema says that's why it's called Tmidim, every day, Kesidrom, Umusafim, But the Musaf, the special korban of Shabbos, ki hil chosam. Like it's halacha, leloshon halicha. Right? Right? Like the pasuk says in Zechariah, contrasting a person, right? To what he calls a malach. Nasati lechon b'halchim. Vena omdim ha'elo. The malachim are called omdim. They stay in stationary. They don't go anywhere. But a person, it can be a mahalach. He rises higher and higher and higher. Tzvidim kisidron musafim kiel chosam. And as we mentioned, that's why in Musaf, right, the Daskenim Balatosis brings it down. And Rabbi Yitzchak Winkel talks about it also quite a bit. Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Shech, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak talks about it. That's why in Musaf, the Tikanta Shabbos is a backwards Aleph Beis. From Shemayim, it comes down to the Aretz, Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, Kof, etc. And when it rises up from the Aretz back to the Shemayim, it's Tuf, Shin, Reish, Kuf, etc. Okay, fine. The difference between a person who davens and doesn't daven. So if it's you know, it's like imagine a guy coming to the almost as a prose door. It's a corridor. Olma Bo is a trackling. So if I didn't daven. So let's say a person ends his life in glory. Glory. He's the head of this and all that and record and he's got nachas without an end and he's got all the good things, right? He comes to the end of the corridor. He's got to shuffle off the mortal coil. He comes there and they start stripping off his stuff. But wait, that's mine. That's not yours. But wait, don't take that. That's not yours. That's not yours. That's not yours. Right? You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. The pharaohs thought they could take it with them. They got buried along with all the riches and their slaves. Right? There's nothing to take it with them. But you can't take it with you. If it's not a function of your avodas Hashem, you can't take it with you. It's meaningless. It was all just a mirage. It's the emperor's clothes. But if, what do you call it, if a person was being Ovid all along, then all the things that he had, they translate into avodas Hashem. They translate to avodas Hashem. They translate the connection that you take with you. So it's so important, right? It's hard time for us to daven sometimes because we think, oh, you know, yesterday, I didn't daven yesterday, so Wilson, but yesterday was okay. It doesn't mean anything. It's a mirage. I didn't daven well yesterday, and yesterday was. Yesterday was like a, what do you call it, I don't know, a hedge. It was like a hedge around, what do you call it, around the garden. It looked the same. Okay. That's a show.
Shabbos.